This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great, great weekend. So I have a question for you. Have you ever felt intimidated by the word evangelism, not to mention the whole idea of evangelism, especially if you're an introvert? Do you feel like you still have to share Jesus? And if so, how do you do that? Well, I've got some great news for you about the good news. There is not a one-size-fits-all when it comes to sharing the love of Jesus with others. You know, God has made us all different on purpose for a purpose. And I'm excited to talk to our good friend Matt Brown. He's an evangelist and author. He's local, but he's traveled all over the world, and he's written a phenomenal book. It's titled Revolutionaries, and the subtitle is Men and Women in Every Century Who Advanced Christianity. I'm going to get him on in a minute, and we're going to talk about the various ways that God just works through us supernaturally in a very natural sort of way. And he's got a big event coming up in case you are kind of frightened about the whole idea of sharing your faith. We're going to talk about the event as well. And I want to hear from you. How have you recently reached out and shared the love of Christ, and really in a very natural way? Maybe you bought coffee for someone. Maybe you brought a meal to somebody. Maybe you were kind when you felt like being rude. I want to hear how you just feel God breathe life in and through you and how you share it with others. We've got 5 copies of Matt's book to give away. So I'm going to open the phone lines up right away. And so maybe the simple way to ask this, when was the last time you felt like you shared the love of Christ? What did it look like? And the reason I'm asking this is because I want to show everyone that it looks different in and through all of us. So 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. How have you recently shared the love of Christ? You can also email me during the show, susie@faithradionet.com. So before I get Matt on, a quick reminder, if you are just in need of a fresh reminder of God's love for you, and you need some fresh inspiration to lay hold of his purpose for you, and you're a woman, I invite you to the Beyond Belief Conference. That's this Saturday, October 6th at Crossroads Church in Albert Lee. And it's just a Saturday event from 9 to 2:30, and you can get more information about that on my website at facebook.com. That's not my website, but on my Facebook page is where that link is. facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Okay, let me tell you about my guest and we'll get him on the show. Matt's an evangelist with his wife, Michelle, and they're the founders of Think Eternity, an evangelistic nonprofit organization. He's written several books, including Revolutionaries, Men and Women in Every Century Who Advanced Christianity, and he's a frequent blogger. He's also a frequent radio guest, adjunct professor on evangelism, and now ministers to over 100,000 people on social media on a near daily basis. Matt, welcome. It's so great to have you in studio with us today.
Yeah, great to be here, Susie. Yeah,
it's been too long, I'll tell you that. Well, you've been on the show, I think, 6 or 7 times. And so you know the drill. We like to start out talking scripture. We love the word of God and love the promise. And you chose, I'm very interested in what you're going to say about Proverbs 11:2. So you also reference the Amplified Version. So I'm going to read it and then have you share if you don't mind.
That sounds great.
When swelling and pride come, then emptiness and shame come also. But with humble, now in parentheses, as the Amplified Version does, humble describing those who are lowly, who've been pruned or chiseled by trial and renounced self, which is excellent, and are skillful, they are, let's see, those, but with the humble are skillful in godly wisdom and soundness. So I totally wrecked it. So go ahead. You try to read it and tell me what it means.
No, I love that. And basically, so I've been reading through the Amplified Version over the last year. And
it's great.
Like to switch over to different versions over the years and just kind of read it with fresh perspective and those kind of things. And then there's sometimes when I keep reading the same translations as well. But this verse just shot out at me when I read it recently. And I've been thinking about it ever since. And really, it's that last part that you said, with the humble. And then the scripture goes to define humble there. The humble are those who are lowly, who have been pruned or chiseled by trial and have learned to renounce self. Mm. With those people are skillful in godly wisdom. So I just really liked how it talked about humble. It's saying there's a purpose for the trials that you go through in your life. And God uses those things to prune and to chisel you. And then also, you've learned to renounce self. I don't trust myself anymore, Jesus. I trust you. Mm-hmm. So Really love that. So, yeah.
When you think of a sculptor doing the chiseling, they're only improving and giving more definition, you know, definition to the muscle, to the physique of the sculpture, right? Yeah. And so trial, really, when we lean into the Lord, it does chisel our frame. It trims all the excess off to make us, you know, a lean fighting machine. I love that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we're humble and we're so dependent on the Lord. It's just absolutely beautiful. Well, as I said, we've had you on the show several times. You're a young evangelist, and I say that with great, really awe, because I marvel at everything God has done in and through you. But I want you to share how young you were when the call of God first was apparent to you, and how you developed your heart to share Christ's love with other people.
Yeah, I would say godly heritage is so important, mm-hmm. and you know my family well. My parents have set a great example in so many ways. My mom specifically in the area of personal evangelism. Not so much vocational evangelism, but just personally sharing the gospel with people. And sometimes even in her life, it's been with strangers. And she's actually seen lasting fruit in people's lives from those encounters. And so obviously that was an example for me. But for both my wife and I was actually around the age of 17, 18 years old, finishing up in public high school and heading off to Bible college and to train for ministry and sensing that call towards ministry. One of the main things was there was this evangelist who'd come in town. And actually, for both Michelle and I's lives, God used different evangelists to kind of speak to us about the calling of evangelism. And so for me, it was at this conference that was here in the Twin Cities, and an evangelist had come in town, African-American guy by the name of Sean Smith from San Francisco area, has a great ministry. And it was during that conference in my senior year of high school that God specifically called me to be an evangelist, and the calling came along with a lot of tears. It came along with during the second day of that conference, God just breaking my heart for my friends in my school, and just having this just massive desire, I would say imparted by the Holy Spirit of God, to say, God, what can I do to reach him with the gospel? And so it was this just kind of this impartation of God's heart and this impartation of here's what I'm calling your life to, and I want you to take my word around the world. And so from there, shortly after, a few months later, both Michelle and I, actually the first time we met was down at an outreach in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I read an article recently that was saying that that one of the possible, you know, leaders or mayors of the city is going to try to stop all religious talk on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, because it's such a city, and specifically that area of the city that's known for partying and all this secular stuff. And it was there that I first began to share my faith on this trip. And I would just say that first day going out to share my faith on the streets of New Orleans, that God just gave me the power.
Wow.
I was a shy kid. I grew up shy. And I think as we step into the things, God will call us to things. He'll give us his heart for the things he's called us to do. And as we step into those things, no matter who we are or what our personality is, if we're introverted, if we're extroverted, God will empower us supernaturally to do what he's called us to do. And so there's actually something I've been saying recently that I've been sitting on that I've been just loving and thinking about, is you can do everything that Christ calls you to do, but only with his power.
Amen.
So you got to stay close. So
that's right.
It's that, you know, just what happened with me, just that God calls us, he gives us heart for it. But then also there comes times when he empowers us to do it, and we step past fear and we get bold. And, you know, I'm looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and it talks about how we don't act like Moses did in this earlier time in the Old Testament. Since we have this hope, we are very bold. We have a great hope, and
that's
we're very
right.
bold. So.
And the scripture does say his spirit makes us competent ministers of the gospel.
Yep.
I love that, you know. Boy, that includes you. That includes me. I have so many more questions for you, Matt, but we've got a caller. I want to hear from you, too. How has God worked through you recently? How have you, just in the way that matches who God made you to be, shared the love of Christ? And I asked that question on Facebook, and lots of different answers. Opening my home, loving them, forgiving them. 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller from South Haven. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. How have you, you shared because of a Craigslist ad? Did I read that right?
Yeah, I responded to a Craigslist ad that I really wasn't looking to respond to, but I did. And when I brought the product to her, she just, you know, asked me a lot of questions about what we were doing and was very interested in, and made it very clear, though, through her experience, kind of that she wasn't a Christian. And so I knew to kind of just be tentative. And, you know, I'm always looking, always kind of seeking that. And we then connected on Facebook. She found me on Facebook. To which she had made a post of, you know, 2 days earlier, I had prayed that I would find a friend, and God answered that prayer 2 days later. They had just recently moved from California, and so we've kind of started a relationship, and I, you know, that's, you know, I'm just excited about the possibilities, and, you know, she's tattooed up one arm and down the other, and it's just so great. I love it. It's,
God bless you. God bless you for being just a willing and available vessel. Do you want to say anything, Matt?
No, just so neat to hear your story. And it's amazing how God brings people into our lives and the different ways he works through us.
Wow, amazing. Thanks for your call. You're going to get a copy of Matt's book titled Revolutionaries. What about you? Maybe there's a way God's just nudged you and you responded. And, you know, Scripture says one plants and the other waters, but it's God who brings the increase. And if we really don't care who gets the glory, but we just want to be available, we're going to be part of a rich, rich harvest. So I'd love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. So, Matt, you're the shy guy and you go to New Orleans. I mean, I'm like, could you pick... It's like going to the Super Bowl of evangelism.
Yes.
Wow. Were you just scared out of your mind, or did really?
I don't think we knew what we were getting into. So
yeah, naivety is.
My mom said later she went and looked, you know, looked online and was like, "What is my son going to? You know, heading down
and
here."
And now
to,
she goes all the time.
Yeah, now she goes regularly. She loves it.
Wow.
Actually, we continued to go for many years, and she's continued to go since that time, and still goes. And, man, they pray hard and they see just God do amazing things as they're just available to minister in that way on the streets. So, you know, obviously not everyone's going to minister on the streets. There's different ways that God will work through us. You, I loved how you said, how has God nudged you, you know, for callers?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the best, you know, those are the best experiences of evangelism when the Holy Spirit nudges us. And it's not the times that we always plan to witness, but it's the times that he plans for us to witness. And if we're faithful to respond to that, those are the, you know, those are where the best experiences come from, and we can see God work through us. That's what we want to cultivate and hopefully catalyze on this radio show, is that there would be some more nudges that people would pay attention to. And, you know, who knows how God can work through small things and little things to bring his gospel around the world.
And that's the thing. He's just looking for available vessels, you know, and Tozer said the works of God are rarely convenient. So we've got to be willing to have some divine interruptions, but then you're a part of this adventure of faith.
Yeah.
Well, Matt just sent me this link. Judge issues injunction on Bourbon Street law. Judge blocks law that makes preaching Jesus on Bourbon Street a crime. So, wow. But this just is a picture of where we are at today, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, if there's any place that I've been in the world, that would be one of the places where they would try to do that. It's not going to stop people from preaching. Mm-hmm. People will just preach there and still go to jail.
Yeah, it's happening in other countries. Right.
But, hey, there's streets all over the world that are open for preaching right now.
Amen. There's a street near you, right?
Yes, exactly.
If you just tuned in, really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our friend and author, evangelist Matt Brown in studio. We've got 4 copies left of his book, Revolutionaries, Men and Women in Every Century, who advance Christianity. I'd love to hear from you. How have you responded to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, in the smallest way or the biggest way? Love to know. 877-933-2484. Matt, you say there were no dark ages really in Christianity. I'm so fascinated by that. Explain that for me.
Yeah, and I say that out of studying, you know, not with a presupposed idea about it, but as I was reading, you know, the dozens and dozens of biographies and church history books that led up to the writing of Revolutionaries, it was so transformational in my own life. Even having grown up in the church, there was so much that went on and that is going on around the world today that I didn't know about. And so that's kind of what it, you know, stimulated in me, as I realized, man, God is moving in amazing ways. And so the reason I said that phrase was because, you know, in the time of, you know, when maybe you've heard about in history classes, the time of the Crusades, when Christians are going off and killing in the name of the church, then you have Francis of Assisi, who did nothing of the sort, who's going behind enemy lines, risking his life as a, you know, ready to give his life as a martyr to go and share the gospel with the Muslim chieftain of the army of that time who was going up against the crusaders. So during all these different times of the church, you see these different men and women who were laying down their lives for the gospel, and we're seeing incredible things. And people would plant the gospel in China, and then decades or centuries later, they go plant it again. And so all around the world, the gospel has been going out through history. And, you know, the thing that most often happens is we haven't heard of the story, so we just assume nothing's happened.
Wow, good point.
So as I'm reading the stories, I'm going, man, there's so much taking place. God has been active, and, you know, he's active today as well.
Yeah.
Through people who are listening, churches across the region and around the nation, around the world, and through different believers who are standing up. And they have a great hope in Christ, and they're being very bold, and they're seeing great things happen as a result of that.
You know, the life of Christ in us, the miracle of Christ that transforms us, is so revolutionary. It saves us. It redeems us. And you think it's really the only religion that renews you to the point where you're more humble today than you were yesterday, that you're more loving today than you were yesterday, that as the world, you know, descends into corruption, we're shining ever brighter to the full light of day. Only God could do that. Yeah. We're not doing that.
Yeah, it's the simple gospel. And when you preach the gospel as the scripture has, you know, the early church has passed it down to us, that's what orthodoxy means. It's taking the faith as it's been passed down to us by Christ and by his first followers. You know, when we preach that gospel, not one that we kind of divide up and, you know, but when we preach the simple gospel, that's where the power is to transform lives. And, you know, Paul called it in 1 Corinthians 1, sometimes the seemingly foolishness of preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, how would this change a life? But that gospel is what is transforming people and continues to this very day, and can transform our neighbors and can transform our friends if God could use us in their lives.
Well, I'm curious what you think about, you know, you have different departures, or maybe different interpretations are a better word, of the gospel, right?
Yeah.
And what's breaking my heart is what I'm seeing online when one speaker, preacher is calling out another. Now, I know scripture does say expose falsehood and heresy, but sometimes you're seeing these people call each other out on just differences of interpretation on secondary issues.
Yeah.
Do you know, what do you think of that? Because that's very troubling, because from the outside looking in, they're like, you guys can't even get it together. Why would I want what you have?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a sense in the scripture when Jesus says, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one, so that the world may know you've sent me. So I was a part of this gathering this summer in July. Michelle and I went over to Madison, Wisconsin. It was a LaSan North American Young Leaders gathering. And they gathered about 120 young leaders in their 30s and 40s from across the country, actually into Canada as well. And as we gathered, you know, that was something that was talked about, that unity in the church and collaboration around the gospel is one of the key ways to show the world, you know, the reality of the gospel. And so it saddens me. You know, I think that there is a place for calling people out when it's the core of the gospel, when it's distinctives. That's just not my personal style. Like, you know, why would you champion and beat people up? There's a word on social media called Jesus juking. And that's really what they're doing. They're beating people over the head with the Bible and saying, I'm a little more spiritual with you than you, or I know a little bit more than you. And I think there's a lot more graceful and careful ways to go about that while still keeping unity within the church.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Very much. Very, very good. 877-933-2484. How have you responded to the recent nudge of the Holy Spirit? That really, it's not rocket science. It's doing the next thing God tells you to do. And sometimes those are things that are big. Sometimes those are small, but they all contribute to the life of Christ flowing in and through us. 877-933-2484. We've got Rosie calling from Minnetonka. Rosie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm awesome. It's gorgeous out, and I'm a vessel for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wherever I go, I just praise him and say, Lord, you know, I abide in you, and the Holy Spirit will just allow you that boldness. And I was just ministering the other day at Byerly's, and I bumped into a girlfriend, and I can tell, you know, she had something on her mind, and I had told her I just came back from church and how God was answering my prayers, how wonderful he was. And then she just asked me, Rosie, is it true? You know, does prayer really work? And then I just lifted her in prayer right there at the store. And she started weeping, and we were hugging each other while people were walking by.
I love it.
And just ministering to her. I can't even remember exactly what my spirit was saying, but she was so encouraged, and she just said, you know, I was meant to see you here today, and she just left so so full of joy. Like, I just said, don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. Just talk to the Lord. He'll answer your prayer. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He loves you. Just come to him. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, we're just fellowshipping.
I love it.
That's so great.
Thank you, Rosie, for being a vessel. Matt, do you want to say anything else to Rosie?
Yeah, Rosie, that's so great. And just amazing how God will take up Craigslist ad or buyer lease.
Yeah, that's
run in
exactly
with a friend,
right.
and you almost wonder, I think God, you know, planned for me to run into that person or to meet them. And what I loved about what Rosie was sharing was just that she was just talking about her excitement about the Lord in a natural way.
Exactly.
Man, we can't sit there and fake it, and you know, people will see through that. So we need to actually have, by God's grace, reconnections with Christ and reunion with Christ so that we can speak out of a place of joy.
Yeah.
And out of a place of excitement in our own reality. And this generation, they see the authenticity of a relationship with God. And so when we can speak out of, you know, just the grace that God's doing in our lives. And she just basically the excitement she'd have in church, she had in Byerly's. And, you know, it didn't sound like she was weird about it at all. She just was just available to encourage a friend. That was awesome.
Thank you, Rose. You get a copy of Matt's book. And let's go with the weird thing for a moment, because the weird thing is what scares people, too.
Yeah.
And there's times where, you know, you can't judge a man's heart, only God can. But there are times when it looks forced and it feels awkward.
Yep.
What about that?
Oh, and I've done it many times. I don't know if you have too. I mean, you kind of
never.
Yeah, never. Okay, that's
just kidding.
So basically, what I would say about the weird thing is, you know, our call isn't to, you know, convince people. People, you know, people in the Bible, they responded negatively when the gospel was preached. But we should do our best to communicate it in a way that people would actually receive it. I actually preached recently on this message, just saying it's not enough to know the Bible. We have to know how to communicate it effectively. And I just gave the example of a missionary heading overseas, and they go into some third world country, and they have to learn the language first before they, you know, try to preach to those people. You could say, well, I'm an anointed missionary. God has sent me. I'm called by God. And so I'm going to preach it in English because that's the thing that I know, and they're going to receive it. And God's going to move anyways. No, he's probably, you know, you probably need to learn their language. And so... So it's those two things. We should really know the Word of God. We should have something fresh from the Word of God each day to give people. But then on the other hand, it always helps to learn to communicate it better. And, you know, it's emotional intelligence. It's EQ. It's learning to respond to friends and be a good friend and to listen well and not just preach and all those things. So it's both and. And so it's, you know, that's what I'd say the challenge is to being weird is just to do your best.
Yeah.
And leave the results up to God. Always with evangelism, leave the results up to God.
Don't you think too, if you keep the front of your mind, love God, love others. If that's really at the core, you have less chance of being weird. Because you know, I've heard so many stories in my travels of, you know, a restaurant that's across the street from a church where the people go every Sunday and they take up all the tables and they leave no tips.
Yeah.
So these people will see their Bible sitting on the table. They'll hear them talking about the sermon and they're very demanding to the waitress. Yeah. You know, waiters and waitresses, and then they leave with no tips.
Yeah.
Well, here's an evangelistic tool. Be kind and respectful and loving and tip them like crazy, right?
Yeah totally. And it's all those little things, just treating people right. You know, you can pray all you want, you can fast all you want, you can quote the Word of God, but if you don't treat people right,
exactly,
then you're going to be lacking in your effectiveness. And so we continue to increase in effectiveness by just learning to care for people, to be kind, to be loving. Really, it's the fruits of the Spirit. If we include the fruits of the Spirit in our evangelism, like you were talking about, then we'll probably do a great job, you know. So am I being loving? Am I being peaceful? Am I being kind? Am I being respectful? Am I being good? You know, these kind of things. So
that's really good. You know, I've shared the story before, but my son used to be a valet at a hotel while he was in college. And he was trying to reach out to these guys he worked with. But in his own style, in his own way. But he said a car came that had just been at a conference and they started to throw tracts out the window. And do you know if you're going to hell or to heaven? And they were just like, you know, it's like these poor guys had to drink out of a fire hose.
Yeah.
And then they drove off. And he said he felt like it pushed his efforts back so far, and he had to do damage control, and it broke his heart.
Yeah.
And that, so to me, it goes back again. Are you caring about the person? Can you look in their eyes?
Yeah. Can I say something to that? Because, you know, what it is, and here's the continual challenge we face as believers, is we try to ease our guilty conscience.
Yeah,
for evangelism.
Good point.
And so we feel the need to do drive-by, you know, Jesus loves you, mm-hmm. and I've done many of them. And we try to do extreme things so that we feel, and what it is we're trying to lean on our own performance. And you and I were talking about this earlier. The gospel is you lean on Christ's performance.
That's
and you
so
respond
good.
To what God is already doing. And so that's the challenge is, we don't go out and witness because we feel guilty about it. We don't go out and witness because, you know, we're feeling like we got to reach a certain quota. We go out and witness out of the joy of the Lord and out of the calling and purpose of God, the movement that Christ is doing on the earth and wanting to be a part of that. And we go out and witness out of a healthy place, mm-hmm. you know, not trying to prove ourselves. And so I think that establishes and builds for more quality relationships and conversations around the gospel. I just read the best book I've ever read on evangelism. Called Gospel-Centered Discipleship by a guy named Jonathan Dodson. He's a pastor down in Austin, Texas. And that's really what he talks about is, you know, hey, we don't have to try to ease our guilty evangelism
that's
consciences.
Right.
No, we have to continue to come back to Christ's performance, not mine.
It's not an ought to or a should do. It is a get to. And I think the Samaritan woman is probably one of the best evangelists because with wide-eyed wonder, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. You can't fake that, mm-hmm. you know? And that's what we're talking about. Well, I'm talking to Matt Brown in studio today. I've got a few copies left of his book, Revolutionaries, Men and Women in Every Century Who Advanced Christianity. When was the last time you responded to the nudge of the Holy Spirit? I want to hear about it. 877-933-2484. More with Matt Brown, and we'll take that anonymous call on the other side in just a moment. Love that. That's Monk and Eagle. Hallelujah, Jesus. In fact, we've received requests from you about the songs we've been using as our bumper music at the break. So we're going to start posting those on our webpage. So when you see the podcast after today's show, you'll see some of the theme scriptures Matt used. And right under that, you'll have the song that we use today. So that's just something else to help you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have our friend Matt Brown in studio. He's an evangelist and author. He just signed with a literary agent, so you'll see many more books coming out of this guy. And we've got an anonymous caller calling from Vinton, and I don't know where Vinton is, so I want to know. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes.
I'm a very shy person, too. Mm. But I realize the love of Jesus bubbles out of my life.
Hmm.
And so I just made it a daily prayer. Even though I'm a housewife and stuck at home a lot, there are people that come across my path. And I failed a lot, but the Lord's giving me more opportunities. And I just wanted to share kind of like four in a row.
Yes.
We had puppies for sale, which sold, but somebody texted me. And I texted them no, but I felt the nudge of the Spirit to ask them if they had ever prayed to Jesus. And they texted me back no. Anyway, it was a big, long texting conversation all about the Lord. That was a huge amen.
Okay, pause right there. Do you have any puppies? No, but I have Jesus.
Well, and the big thing is she's following the leading of the Spirit.
Amen, amen.
Texting the gospel. That is awesome.
I love it. Okay, number two. Let's hear it.
The other one, another one was somebody called about all the political issues. Mm. And anyway, I talked about Jesus, how he had voted for me, but he had been rejected by mankind, and he is still calling. Anyway, it just opened up a beautiful conversation where the woman cried and owned that we needed Jesus. He was the only one who could set things straight.
Mm.
Anyway, that was another huge heart bonding over the phone.
Wow.
We're just having very great difficulties where we're meeting for church, where, like you were speaking, fighting over some of the most trivial things. And I go because my husband goes, but I can feel bitterness coming in my heart. Mm. And I just pray, Lord, help me to meet these brethren because they are my brethren. Give me passionate love for them. And even though I don't really feel it in my heart, the Lord is working it. And one of my daughters had to stay home with me, and she was like, Mom, I can't get it how you love those people so much where we go. And I'm just like, oh, sweetie, that's the work of the Lord. Mm. And anyway, when they call on the phone, he just transforms my voice so that love flows out. It's all of him. Mm. And I just, there's nothing small when we honor the nudge of the Holy Spirit.
You're
it
so
is
right.
all huge.
Yeah. And the fact that you just love him and you make yourself available, the opportunities come because
Amen.
They're out there. God bless you. And you're going to get a copy of Matt's book, and you're going to love it. Matt, you want to say anything to our friend?
Yeah, no, I just really appreciate these stories. And her life is a book,
yeah.
you know, of the gospel. Like how she talked about, you know, the natural ways of sharing her faith as a shy person and how God's using her are just beautiful and incredible.
Yeah.
I love them.
And, you know, for a shy person, those are some pretty audacious, bold things that she's done, you know?
And just the, what she talked about, just the last story about how, you know, God's love is, God's gracing her with his love. And anytime we feel like we need something in our lives, anytime we need an attitude adjustment or a shift, and we can pray and we can ask God and we can say, Lord, help me to, you know, show who you really are and work with me here and do things in my heart. And she talked about it. It was amazing.
Really? So. And I like what your original story about how God got a hold of you evangelistically, because he started with burdening your heart. And I think if you don't have a burdened heart, it again is an ought to, should do, and it's guilt evangelism. Well, I ought to do this, so I'm just... But then you're not going to have this love bursting out of your heart like she's talking about. So maybe a prayer we could pray is break my heart for what breaks yours.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I prayed about the human trafficking issue.
Yeah.
How I pray for America is, Lord, show me, give me a portion of the burden that you're carrying for this nation.
Yeah.
And that compels me to pray. It makes me bold. It makes me not really care what people think. You know what I'm saying? Because it fuels me. And that comes out of a different place than this is something Christians do. I mean, that seems so boring, doesn't it?
Yeah. Jesus said in Matthew 9 and 10, he talks to his disciples, the crowds are huge, you know, God's compassion is on the people, and he says, pray for harvesters. Actually, you know, there's in that scripture, he's not saying pray for the lost or pray for people outside the church. He's saying pray for people inside the church, so that the gospel might go out. Pray for people who would stand up and be able to be
Count
bold for Christ. And then in Matthew 10, they answer their own prayer and he sends them out.
Mm.
So that prayer is so integral to the gospel getting out around the world. Is not, Lord, help the people outside the church to come in. Lord, help the people inside the church. Lord, do something, break my heart so that I can be faithful where I'm at with my family and with my neighbors and with the people that you put in my life. And then he sends us out. So we become answers to our own prayer in a sense, but it starts with that burden. It really, that's a biblical, you know, foundation for really what went on in my life and so many people's lives.
You know, multi-level marketing has nothing on this kingdom dynamic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And people get so pumped up about that. It's like, here's the gospel. It's changing lives around the world.
And we each walk it out and live it out in our organic everyday lives. You can be in any role. You can be a bus driver. You can be a mom of seven kids. You can be sitting in a cubicle all day, but you can be a conduit to the kingdom.
Yeah.
And it's not for everybody else. It's if you've been saved, you've got a story to tell, don't you?
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
I have a really neat story. There was one of the guys I met at the LaSan Young Leader Gathering in Madison is an Asian American and lead pastor of a church in New York City, actually in downtown New York City. And he's a young guy in his 30s. His name is Sam Kim. And he told this powerful story about his church as he was leading it. And basically what they were attempting to do was be a really relevant, cool church in New York City that was reaching people. And so they were getting a ton of traffic, people coming through and young people connecting in and people in their 20s and 30s, young professionals and entrepreneurs that were coming through their church. And for several years, and he said we did all the stuff. We had like the candles and we were really relevant and cool and trying to be really careful with how they talked about things. And there was this young medical student that was talking to one of his staff members and said, you know, I had a great time at the church and it was a good experience, but there's just one thing that, you know, I'm not sure about. And so he and his staff member are having this conversation. Well, it comes down to this medical student says, you know, the church was awesome, but I just don't know how this church helps me to get to know Jesus. And so Sam's staff member, you know, slowly telling him the story, not wanting to tell him. And Sam goes into his office, shuts the door, gets on his knees, and just starts weeping.
Mm.
And calls emergency staff meeting the next day. And as he's telling the story, it was just more powerful than what I'm telling now. Calls a staff meeting, emergency staff meeting, and says, we're cutting all of our programs, and we are not going to do one thing in this church unless it points people to Jesus.
Amen.
And that, so they've been doing that. So they've had hundreds and hundreds of people in the last few years since they made that change that have come to Christ in small groups. What they do is they talk about a relevant issue in life, and they talk about how Jesus meets that need or responds to these challenges in the world around us. So every single thing they do, they point to Jesus. And what he said was, he goes, I had become ashamed of the gospel. So in all this sharing and wanting to be careful and all these things, we can't become ashamed of the gospel.
And you know what? How we get there is we appeal to the consumer mentality. We appeal to the need to entertain a culture and a society that's so used to being entertained. We want to be cool. We want to, and you know what? Do some relevant things if you need to. But at the core, Jesus saves, right?
And I'd say, do every relevant thing you want to, but never let anything hinder. Point to Jesus. Preach the gospel.
And we're never off duty.
And here's the deal. When we're doing good deeds, when we're, when we're out there paying for someone's coffee, which I'd like you to pay for my coffee as well. But when we're out there, mowing our neighbor's yard or whatever kind acts we do, if there's an appropriate time without being weird, point to Jesus and point to the gospel. This is why I really care about you as a neighbor is Christ has done something different in my heart. I'm different than who I used to be.
I
love people
more. I can't do this to myself. That's right.
Point to Jesus and don't be ashamed of the gospel. When you get ashamed of the gospel, quick, turn around and go back the other way.
Yeah. You know, I remember I've shared this, I think, a year ago on this show, so hopefully you've forgotten it. It'll be really fresh to you again as I share it now for the first time. But we first moved to a northern suburb, and we were looking for churches, and I visited this one. And, transplanting, I was like, we'd been out of state, and we're moving back, and I just was, it's a vulnerable thing. So I'm walking this church, and it did seem really relevant and seemed really cool on so many levels, but nobody talked to me. Nobody talked to us. They were all in their little clusters. So I went in the bathroom to pout, and I'm like, I don't like this, And Lord spoke so clearly to my heart, and he's like, how long have you known me? And I'm like, 30 years or whatever. And he's like, you know me well. Go out there and talk to someone who actually needs some help. I mean, it was so like I got spanked, And I walked out, and right across the foyer, I see this mom leaning against the wall with her little kids. I knew I was supposed to talk with her, and that's not me. I am more of an introvert, man. It's hard for me. I'd rather go to the dentist than walk across the room and strike up a conversation with someone. But I walked over and I said, hey, I'm Susie. And she started to cry. And I said, what's going on? She goes, well, I'm a young mom, and I was just diagnosed with Lyme disease, and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I was once a young mom with Lyme disease, and so I was able to pray with her and talk with her. I prayed with her. We had this great moment, and then she was crying, and then she goes, thank you so much. And then she grabbed my arm, and she goes, are you on staff here? And I go, no, I'm just visiting. And it was like such a reminder. The Lord was like, you are always under my care, but you're always under my charge, you know?
Oh, that's good.
And we have to
remember
that.
That's a tweetable quote right
there. Tweetable quote.
Yes.
Get on that for me, buddy. Matt, actually, I will just tell you, Matt works on my social media behind the scenes, and he's a genius when it comes to that. So I shouldn't advertise his services because he's so busy, but you need to know he's really good at that. 877-933-2484. Sharon's calling from Cologne, Minnesota. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
How are you?
Susie, and hello, Matt. I'm good. Well, my story is about end of life. That's really hard for a lot of people to say goodbye and just to deal with that. And God's given me that gift. And my mom doesn't have very many relatives, actually. This was her last living cousin and very good friend was dying. And she had told me that she was there like the week before. And she said, Sharon, you need to get there and see her. And I said, yeah, I know. We have these busy lives, So I made a point, okay, I've got an hour to go and go visit her. It's a little ways drive. So I'm driving through the town that mom lives in, and my car just pulled into her driveway. It's like, I got to take mom with. So she said, sure, I'll go with. And when we got there, she just sat in the corner in the recliner, and I sat on the edge of the bed and talked to Lorraine and, prayed with her and told her we loved her and it was okay. And I said to mom, I said, you want to talk to her now? And she shook her head. No, she's crying. I said, come on, mom, I'll help you. She said, I'm not good at that. And I said, that's okay. And she just grabbed her hand, bent down, and just told her who she was and And she says, you know, I'm really going to miss you. I love you, but it's okay. And say hi to Alphonse. That's my dad. And she was just, the Holy Spirit was just there and gave her those few words that she felt very, very good about. And I felt good that she could do that. And then 6 days later, she did die. But Mom just said to me, how do you do that? And I said, I don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit that's given me that. And, and it was just very heartwarming. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes when I think about
that is such
not
a...
wanting to take her with.
You know, that's it right there. That's a sacred moment. And we miss these sacred moments if we don't listen to the nudge. Do you want us to add anything to Sharon's?
Well, just the thought that that this is happening all over the world.
Yeah,
that there's,
that's
you know,
right.
There's people that are being faithful. And, you know, one thing is we can encourage people by sharing these stories when appropriate, you know, with a friend or family member who's a believer even, and just how God used us and maybe say, you know, to share that it's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. He can speak through you too if you allow him to, and that's good.
Yeah, it really, really is good. Yeah, how can you dispute your story? And so, and it goes back to what you said a little while ago, Matt, that we have to have a real experience with the Lord and not just one time. It's not a get out of hell free or, you know, card or fire insurance. It's a relationship, you know, where we get the miracle of grace in us. We not only know we're going to heaven, but we have a continual ongoing relationship with the Lord. And we nurture that. We camp in his presence. We read his word. We hear what he has to say. We do what he has to say. And so that he picks us out in a crowd as someone he, you know, I got a relationship with that person. And he invites us to continual fellowship. Well, you might be somebody who struggles with the idea of sharing your faith. And there are actually tangible things you can do to just help yourself be equipped. And so Matt is so passionate about this that he's organized a conference, and it's called Ignite. And I want you to just tell us about it, because this, you know, this show broadcasts all over the upper Midwest. But with a little bit of notice here, people can make a plan to come into the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I think there already are some people flying in from different parts of the country. And so it's coming up on October 12th and 13th. And it's going to be at North Heights Lutheran Church, the Arden Hills campus, which is not too far from here at the KTIS studio and Faith Radio. And it's basically the whole conference is built around using the historic training from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And, you know, we did Ignite Conference last year, and, you know, 8 to 10 months before that, as we're praying and preparing and starting to collaborate with local churches, that was one of my things that I was really wrestling with and praying about. Do we just come and preach new messages, or do we use this historic training? And I really, Susie, I would say that out of all the trainings I've been a part of, that there's nothing as healthy and balanced and biblical that I've experienced as this Billy Graham Evangelistic Association training. So that's really why we wanted to go with it. It's a three-teacher team, which I'll be a part of, that we go back and forth every few minutes and talk through these different things. And it talks about, you know, the first half of the conference is really all about drawing closer to the Lord. It's about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the victorious Christian life, the effective Christian life. And then you go on into, obviously, sharing the gospel and how do we do that. But it's out of that place. And so, and they know that.
Mm-hmm.
So they've taught that training for 60 years all over the world. Millions of people have been trained through this. And so we, you know, obviously, having worked with them several years ago, chatted with them. And so we're using their training. But it has been wonderful last year when we did it. And so excited about this fall. We have some great worship artists with us, Jeff Dio.
And we've
Shane
had him in
Shane.
Studio. He was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we love him. And Shane and Shane, I absolutely love.
Yeah,
so.
Shane and Shane will be with us. So it's going to be a powerful weekend. And, you know, I don't know that there's too much out there in the way of evangelism conferences. You have some next generation conferences, but around the country, you know, maybe an evangelist will go into a church and they'll challenge people. But where are the actual training, equipping events on a significant level? And I think this has been one of those things in the Twin Cities, one of those drops in the ocean of what God's doing that
Matt,
has affected people.
Let me jump in here. I'm sorry to interrupt, but explain the difference between an evangelist like you that's got a clear mantle of evangelism, Billy Graham, you know, Nick Hall. There's these guys that just are called really to the masses, but we're all called to evangelize, to share Jesus. Make that distinction, if you will.
Well, yeah, and actually one of the best ways I've heard it shared is by this gentleman named Mark Herringshaw, who works with Youth with a Mission International, and a great author and speaker. And he had shared that basically it's the calling of the Scripture, you know, the obedience of the Christian life, and then there's a gift of different areas that God calls us to do, and then there's a vocational calling.
Mm.
And the difference is basically all of us are called to pray, right?
Yeah.
But some of us are better than others, and then some of us are vocationally called to teach and train on prayer. It's the same thing with evangelism. All of us are called to share the gospel. And I was going to say this earlier. We need less preachy Christians preaching
Amen.
Out of performance-based guilt evangelism out of their own hearts and their lives. And we need more of the shy people who say, you know, maybe God could use me if I talk to my friend or family. So you got that that everyone is called to do it. And then there's some people who just seem to be better at it than others. And then there's people like my wife and I with the vocational call to spend our lives, you know, teaching people, equipping people. 51% of every ministry calling is training other people to do it, not just doing it yourself. But then, you know, we love to proclaim the gospel ourselves as well.
Okay, so who is this conference for then? It's for all the rest of us, isn't it?
This conference is for the rest of us. This conference is for specifically for any believer of any age. It's open to all ages, and we have many different churches around the region. Last year, we had 70 churches of different denominations that came together for it at the conference, and over 1,000 people were trained, and we're just praying that this is an incredible year. Hundreds of people, maybe over 1,000, getting motivated, getting catalyzed and inspired to share their faith and to grow from wherever they're at. So this is really a conference for shy people. It's a conference for people who don't necessarily feel they have the gift but want to grow in that, you know, level of obedience to the Lord.
And it's not targeted at just 20-something. It's for all ages,
right? It's for all ages, yeah. And actually, so we did do a targeted Next Generation conference last year, and some of the churches that were involved that brought youth leaders and people of different ages to kind of help bring students and lead, they said, please open this up, you know, for the rest of our church. We really want our adults to walk through this training. So, so we did it out of, you know, a response to people desiring that. And yeah, we'd love to do that. We'd love to open it up for that. So,
well, in a day of absolute biblical illiteracy that we're hearing about, that so many proclaim Christ but really don't know even why they believe what they believe, this is a great opportunity for them to really understand the core foundational truth of the gospel of Jesus. So,
it's so good. I would just highly recommend. This is really not a conference just for a few select few passionate people in your church, but bring as many people as you can.
Mm-hmm. And if they want more information, where can they go?
Yeah, it's on the website at ignitelive.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's ignitelive.org, and there's information about it. All the details and ways that you can connect with us and those kind of things.
I'm also getting a question on my board here. Can Matt repeat the title of his favorite evangelism book again?
Yeah, the favorite evangelism book. And actually, so here's, I want to give a backstory to this. For many years, people would ask me about good evangelism books because I'm a big reader, read about a book a week, love reading, have done that for over a decade, and I've read a lot of evangelism books. But I would always cringe when people asked me what my favorite evangelism book was because I just was too picky about it for some reason. I don't know if I want to tell you any of the books that I've read on it. So I've read a lot of the popular evangelism books, but this is a newer book. It's a 50-page ebook, and it's called Unbelievable Gospel. I think I said it wrong before. Unbelievable Gospel is the title, by Jonathan Dodson. And it's available at his site because he also wrote another book through Crossway called Gospel-Centered Discipleship. So it's Unbelievable Gospel. Best evangelism book I've read by far. I love it.
Wow. What do you like about it?
I have my students read it. It is so good. I just felt like it presented how to share the gospel in a way that would be for the rest of us. That is out of a natural place, an authentic place, out of union with Christ, and not out of performance-based, not out of guilt-riddenness, not out of, you know, and he talks about, you know, the challenges of preachy Christians, and we got to be careful, you know, that we are loving people and that we're responding as God leads us and stuff. So I can't speak highly enough about it. I really, really enjoyed it.
Great. So, Unbelievable Gospel. That sounds great. We just have a few minutes left, but I want you to share about the time that you and Michelle, your wife, went to Calcutta, India, and you met Hulda Bontain. I got to hear her speak recently. What the scope of what she's doing and what you learned from this woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hulda Bontain is a missionary in Calcutta, India. Her and her late husband, Mark, headed over there about over 50 years ago on a boat. And,
for 1 year. It's going to be 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year of evangelism on a boat. And so just a different time back then. And they've literally spent their lives there. Her husband passed away a couple decades ago, and she's by God's grace, like she did not think. She said, God, I've already given decades here with my husband, and, do I really need to keep going with this work? And she's now given her whole life there, and she's been there, you know, since.
And she was a great friend of Mother Teresa.
Yeah, a close friend of Mother Teresa. She would basically, when kids were savable off the streets, when Mother Teresa and her order would go out, they would put them in Hoda Bintan's hospital, which is the largest mission hospital in the world, Calcutta Mercy Hospital. And amazing miracle stories about how that whole hospital has gone, been built and those things. And but they also have a feeding program that feeds 25,000 people a day. They treat over 100,000 people a year in their hospital, and 40,000 of those for free. And they have schools, I think over 100 around the nation of India, and they've planted close to 1,000 churches.
And how, she's like 80.
She's still going, and she's mentally cognizant. She's like,
and she's
all
a
there.
Firewoman.
She's incredible.
But I mean, you know, I was telling you that inspired me so much. And Kevin and I have been asking, God, increase our capacity of what is possible in and through us, because we can so write ourselves off when you just look at what you have in your hand. But go ahead.
And honestly, when we spent time with Hoda Bintan over the weekend when she was here a few weeks ago. And it's always such a privilege and joy to drive her around and hang out with her and hear stories. But she's, you know, she's just like anyone else, where she goes, you know, I just feel like I want God to use me in greater ways, and I don't feel like I've done enough. Here's this quote that I wrote in my book that I love from her, and here's what she said. I'm often asked how we were able to accomplish so much for the kingdom of God. We took it one day at a time. We worked hard and we did our best to listen to the voice of the Lord, knowing that He was the one who sent us, He was the one who performed the miracles, and He was the one who sustained us. One day at a time is how miracles come about in the lives of the people around us, and whatever God has called us to do for His kingdom. You know, it's the little steps and being faithful and
having
fun.
And those turn into big, big, big things. We had Stephen Furtick on last week talking about his book, Greater, and he was referencing Jesus said, greater things than these will you do. So it's small steps, but we can't underestimate the small step, because that's where God does great, great things.
Yep, and just being faithful. You know, I would say what Hoda and Mark did is they headed over to India, and can you imagine, I'm sure they were a little bit nervous and fearful. They didn't just fly over. They took a boat, and I read this recently that the way to our dreams, or the way to the journey we're called to, is through our fears. That's something that's true of evangelism, but also true of anything in our lives, that we need to be willing to every day face fear in the face and say, I'm going to go do what has called me to do.
And you put those fears under your feet. Boy, and this is the day that we need all hands on deck. This is an urgent hour. We are morally imploding as a nation. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. And He's got something to do in and through each of us. Matt, as always, it's just fabulous having you in studio. Thank you so much. I wonder if we could wrap up. And you just pray for all of us that faith would rise up in us, and that God's, what burdens His heart would burden ours.
Yeah, Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus for every listener, for every family, for every person, God, who may have just stumbled across this chat together, this conversation. God, we ask for Your movement, for Your glory to fill the whole earth. God, we ask that You would, by Your Spirit, move in and through our lives, God, for your gospel's sake around the world. Lord, let us be people who are obedient and step out in faith and see You move, God, in our nation and on our behalf. We ask for a movement of Your Spirit across this nation and through Ignite Conference and other movements that You're doing, God. We ask, God, would You come and move in Your power, God, and have Your way in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. All right, well, tune in tomorrow. I'm talking to Ted Cunningham. He's a pastor and author. The title of his book is Trophy Child. Speaking of performance, they're not here to make us look good. We're going to talk about that tomorrow on Live the Promise. So I'm really glad you tuned in today. I want to leave you with one final thought. You hear it every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. So do the very next thing God gives you to do, and He'll do great things through you. Talk to you tomorrow.